Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 11 and 12. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Congregation, this is the word of the Lord.
If God's word is what it says it is, inspired, breathed out from God into the hearts and minds of the human authors, if it is inerrant, without error in everything it means to say, and if it's authoritative, the binding and the final word of God, the creator of the universe, then we really have no other choice but to live in obedience to it or bear the consequences of living outside or in opposition to God. That is what the reformers meant when they cried, sola scriptura, scripture alone. And if that authority, God's word, tells us that an eternal relationship with God, a place in heaven for all of eternity's salvation, if that authority tells us that salvation comes from sola fide, faith alone, not by anything we could possibly say, think, or do to earn it or to obligate God to give it to us, then our focus should be on the object of that faith, which in our case is a person, Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, solus Christus, Christ alone. 2 Sundays ago, we began this sermon series on the 5 solas of the Reformation. Today, we look at the 3rd sola, Christ alone. In simple terms, saving faith is turning away from our sin and trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. Now, if we are true Christians, what we believe is that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is, that he's God's Son, completely God, completely human at the same time. And not only do we believe in who he is, we believe what the Bible says he did for us, which is that he lived a perfect life, a sin-free life, and then he died on the cross to receive the punishment that we owe for our sin. That and the expression or living out of that truth is what constitutes saving faith in Jesus Christ. What we discovered from the Bible last week was that it was God who gives us our faith. That's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 2:8 when he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." And he goes on to say, "This is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." The Holy Spirit changes our hearts so that we are receptive to this faith when we hear the message of the gospel and we place that faith in Jesus Christ alone. So let's pray. You are the living God, and we ask that you would help us to hear your word today, that we may truly understand, that in understanding we might believe, and believing that we might follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and your glory in all that we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We receive faith in Christ alone. Well, let's look at some of the passages that are listed for you in the bulletin this morning that affirm this truth from Scripture. John says in chapter 3, verse 36 of his gospel, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Now, eternal life is through the Son, Jesus Christ. But did you notice there in John 3, 36, the subtle distinction between the first half of the verse and the second half that gives us an important clue about the saving faith that we discussed last week? True faith in Jesus Christ is the kind of belief that motivates us towards obedience. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Did you see it there? Some translations say, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not believe in the Son shall not see life." The verbs, though, in the Greek are different. In the first half of the verse, the verb is to believe. The second half of the verse, it's to disobey. So belief in Christ alone, the kind of belief that manifests itself in obedience or in submission to him in our everyday life, this is what constitutes saving faith. A belief that does not result in obedience in Christ is something else. Then there is this well-known verse from John chapter 14, where Jesus, trying to prepare his disciples for his upcoming death, says of himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Solus Christus, Christ alone. No one enters into that eternal relationship with God the Father and is saved from an eternity apart from him other than through Christ alone. And here the Apostle Peter, defending the gospel to those who have arrested him and John, both of them, in Acts chapter 4. Philip just read it for us. "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. Not very politically correct of Peter. In Christ alone, Peter says, we receive our salvation because it is Jesus who is the very cornerstone, the solid foundation of our faith. This is the truth that has been preached consistently by Bible-believing pastors and teachers for generations. It is the undeniable and essential part of authentic and historic Christianity. In other words, without this truth that salvation comes by faith alone, through Christ alone, Christianity crumbles, falls apart. To believe anything else is to believe in some other religion. And this is why we as Christians are so concerned to be a part of the local and a global evangelistic mission. The conviction that there is no other possibility of heaven apart from faith in Christ has motivated us to a great missionary movement locally and all around the world. That's what missions is, and that's what it's for. Today, we encourage your support, as you heard Chuck talking about earlier, one of our local outreach missions, Ruth Harbor, where brothers and sisters in Christ share the gospel of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, by serving women in unplanned pregnancies. That's why they do what they do. People need to hear the message of hope that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as Paul described to us in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. God recognized the implications of sin in us. In sin, we're not capable of entering into a loving and saving relationship with him. So he solved that problem for us by making himself into the person of his son, Jesus Christ, who was conceived and born of a virgin, lived a sin-free life, and then died on the cross as an innocent man in order to receive the punishment that we owe for our sin. He took our place. He died on our behalf. But then on the third day, he overcame death by coming back to life, by being raised from the dead, and then ascending into heaven to be present as he is today with God the Father. By a work of the Holy Spirit, God convicts people of this truth and their need of a Savior. Have you recognized that need? Have you confessed your sin? Are you willing to turn from that sin and follow Christ instead? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Christ alone, solus Christus. But you know, we can sit here and we can revel in the truth that God has given us saving faith, faith alone in Christ alone, but there is another implication, isn't there? It's an implication that is hard to ignore. Most of you know what it is. You've already thought it through and you're wondering, Pastor Michael just going to leave it at that? Or is he going to address the big elephant that is left in the room? If Scripture is true and saving faith alone comes through Christ alone, then logically, it must also be true that anyone who dies without faith in Christ is not saved. I mean, if there is no other name under heaven by which men and women can be saved other than the name of Jesus, then faith alone in Buddha alone will not cut it, will it? Not faith in Muhammad, not faith in a future reincarnation. I recently attended a funeral at the Unitarian Church here in Des Moines, and I do what all pastors do. I looked at all their literature, had to see what kind of stuff they had. And I found a brochure, and it explains how you can be a Unitarian and a Christian. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Because these two belief systems are somewhat opposed to one another. A Unitarian is not a Trinitarian, you see. Christians believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Salvation does not come from Christ alone plus anything in addition to the accomplished work of Jesus. There is no later revelation we need to find and ascribe to. Our confessional statement, the Westminster Confession of Faith, says this in its larger catechism. I'll read the question first. The question is question 60. It asks, can they who have never heard the gospel and so know not Jesus Christ nor believe in him be saved by their living according to the light of nature? In other words, can you just pick up on saving faith by observing the world around you? The answer is, they who, having never heard the gospel, know not Jesus Christ and believe not in him, cannot be saved, be they never so diligent to frame their lives according to the light of nature or the laws of that religion which they profess. Neither is there salvation in any other, but in Christ alone, who is the Savior only of his body, the church. Now, you know, as appealing as it sounds, that there might be some alternative ways of salvation. The Bible doesn't give us any room for a divine plan B, as the Westminster divines knew and understood this. The Reformation is not ancient history, folks. The Reformation is not over. There are no alternative saving graces other than faith alone in Christ alone. I mean, you can find churches in America that have bowed down to the God of postmodern tolerance, that you can believe anything as long as you are sincere, or some other watered-down version of the truth. But if we're going to say that we believe in Scripture alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, then any such alternative message isn't biblical. It's not true. It's a false gospel. And we are deceiving people if we proclaim it. That can do one of two things for us. That realization can either paralyze us and call us to question God because in our minds his plan of redemption sounds unfair, or it can galvanize us to recognize that when something the Bible says is troubling to us, we must cling to the truth of the word. We must readjust our thinking and get on board with his plan of global evangelism. We are the plan to solve the problem that we feel when we recognize that Christ is the only way of salvation. We know that God's ways are bigger than our ways. That is a great church cliche. And if that is how he has chosen to do it, through the evangelistic efforts of his people, then that must be right. God does not have an alternative plan for saving people. Notice, though, that I'm not saying that God is limited. I'm not putting him in a box. He is not limited. Our belief is that he is sovereign. He is in control. He is powerful enough to accomplish whatever it is that he wills to accomplish, and therefore he's powerful enough to enact saving faith in anyone he chooses to save. But the salvation comes through Jesus Christ. How he might do that, I cannot say, other than through the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus. But I know that there is nothing in this world that can thwart God's desire to save someone. In the old days, we used to call the Holy Spirit the Hound of Heaven. You ever heard of that? The Hound of Heaven. Because he could track you down, and he could convict you of your sin and open your heart to receiving the message of the gospel. And he is still the Hound of Heaven. That is what we call persevering or irresistible grace. And it's a beautiful thing for us to recognize, because no matter what we have done or where we are, God in his sovereignty will find us at just the time he has planned for our conversion. And that should cause us to worship him for his goodness. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul tells the church in Corinth, and he tells us today, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. just as it was 2,000 years ago. Today it is Jesus Christ, the crucified Christ, the name that is being shut out of public conversation, and Christ alone who can bring salvation, the name that is no longer acceptable to utter, the name that in social situations is no longer to be used in prayer, the name that to a culture that wants to define its own terms for salvation is exclusive and narrow-minded. Why? Paul tells us the very message that the world deems foolish is the message that God chooses to call people to himself. It's a stumbling block and folly to the world, but it is the power of God and the wisdom of God unto salvation. In Christ and the cross, is it becoming an embarrassment to us? Is the church looking for ways to soften the message and promote something of Christianity that is more positive and more culturally acceptable? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great 20th century Lutheran minister, martyr at the hand of the Nazis in Germany, said this in his Meditating on the Word. He said, "If it is I who say where God will be, I will always find there a God who corresponds to me, is agreeable to me. But if it is God who says where he will be, that place is the cross of Christ." If we're going to insist on constructing a God on our own terms, rather than the God who has spoken to us in his word, then we will quickly move to idolatry, worshiping the God of our own minds, rather than the God of truth, who said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. Let's pray. Loving God and Jesus, you chose to come to the world in humility. You chose the path the world saw as foolish. You used what the world considered weak, and in all these things, you saved us while we were yet in our sin. And so not just here in the comfort and the protection of this place, may we worship and adore you and live our lives in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
People of God, receive this benediction from the writer of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.